Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. All right. We are here for episode number 8, succession planning, and we have our guest David Raymond, who's a financial advisor with Doylestown Wealth Management. And David, why don't you give us a little bit about background about yourself, and just fill the viewers in on and learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, great. Thank you for the opportunity to come in here and meet with you. It's a great opportunity to explain the situation that was involved. I joined Doylestown Wealth Management in 2014. Been in the business for 25 plus years, and being on the independent side, I was looking at a way to increase my practice, grow my business. And after I'd gotten there, the individual that started Doylestown Wealth Management, Michael Maddy, had come to me and asked me if I would be interested in being part of a succession plan. And I had said yes, and that was the genesis of it.
Absolutely. And so August of 2014, you joined GVA LPL as, you know, under the Doylestown umbrella. And for, you know, 7 to 8 years and up until today, you're still running your own practice. And yes. And the best part about having you on the podcast is you are a financial advisor within our network who has experienced succession planning, I would say to a T, right? I mean, it was an interesting turn of events. It was it was a lot, right? I think there was a term that you would refer to it as.
Yeah. So, initially it was the tidal wave that was coming over. I was standing on a beach and this big tidal wave was coming over. Michael had gotten sick and unfortunately he passed away. Yeah. Somewhat suddenly to all of us, because Michael was an individual we thought would be around forever. He had, great presence, military background. He was a great individual. Always thought that would be there.
And so, when we look back to that, Michael he was a great advisor. He's a great person. He's someone who I learned a lot from. In fact, he was one of the first offices that actually believed in the GVA concept of, hey, I want to be an advisor. I'm going to go underneath GVA, who focuses strictly on advisors, and I want you guys to help me run my practice. And you made a comment earlier that he would be around forever, but unfortunately, he got sick, and we knew pretty fast that we had to figure out a solution. We had to get a succession plan in place because as gung-ho as Michael was, we actually did not have a succession plan up until 3 months before he had passed away, right? So even though you were in that office, it's a very typical structure of some of the offices that are underneath us. You may be using the same DBA name, right? But at the end of the day, you're focusing on your clients. Michael's focusing on his clients. The other advisors may be focusing on their clients. So there is some overlap of seeing each other in the office, the camaraderie of that. But really, he may be running his book differently than the way that you are as well.
Correct.
And so when we look to when the succession plan actually kicked in and Michael had passed away, it was actually a Saturday. So come Monday, we were talking on the phone and I'm saying, hey, David, guess what? We have a little bit of a situation here. Can you tell us about what that was like when you first got that phone call?
Yeah, well, it was a tough weekend for all of us. It truly was. But then the reality set in, and it was a situation where prior to that, being in the same office, I'd known a handful of Michael's clients, from coming in and out of the office, but hadn't gotten a formal introduction to the vast majority of them, and that was the huge challenge for me. And reach out to them, contact them, get a better understanding of, what keeps them up at night. You know, just the conversations that I have with my current clients, and then also trying to find them a solution on their existing assets. And fortunately, had the conversation with Eric here at Great Valley, and then it was a simple, logical transition over to Great Valley Asset Management.
And I think that was a big factor as well when we look back to how the entire transition had worked, right? In normal circumstances, with a succession plan, we want to put one in place. You have identified who that successor is. And for maybe a year or two, or even over the lifetime of that succession plan, right, it could be years down the road, you are working a little bit more closely on this. So the clients are understanding the same investment philosophy or understanding the same way that maybe you're running business. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you are swimming in the same motion,
correct,
right? And with this situation where you were, plugged in to be that successor, after this unfortunate event, I think there's a lot from your end, but definitely a learning curve for the clients as well, right? Because they're trying to figure out, okay, Michael's no longer with us. We now have David, who we're speaking with. Does he understand the way that Michael was running his practice outside of those clients, right? And what's your reaction to that? I give you a little
smile. Yeah, so Michael's a very unique individual and had a very unique strategy in terms of how to manage individuals' assets. I'm not sure there's anybody within GVA now that would actually have that same model or that same strategy. The big push on my side was to relay to the clients that we have the system in place, we have the resources in place in order to continue their relationship with Doylestown Wealth Management and Great Valley Advisors because of the infrastructure that was behind us.
Absolutely. And I think a big driver of that too was you were in the same office, so they did know, like, yes. Drew, for example, right? So a lot of those clients were familiar with Drew, but unfortunately, there were some clients who just were very confused. Maybe they did not have a general understanding of what was going on, so they didn't want to transition over. And that happens, right? You're never going to fully retain, even in the most perfect of succession plans. I don't think you're ever going to fully retain that. And being that you've actually experienced it, talk about how you were effectively communicating with the client and how you were setting up your meetings. And when it went from, okay, I've gotten all these meetings in, to then doing follow-ups, like, there's a lot of work on your end that had to go into this to keep the business moving forward. When did you feel like you had a pretty good grasp? You're coming up on 2 years, right? You're coming up on 2 years in December here. When did you feel like you had a pretty good grasp on the situation and what had occurred?
I think the processes that Great Valley has in place enabled me to feel comfortable pretty much halfway through the first year.
Okay.
Just because of the assistance I got through with Drew, with Megan here at Great Valley, with Eric and his team, enabled me to set up a process that when we were able to transition the accounts over from that existing management style that Michael had over to a similar style within Great Valley, it was seamless. Put a request in, establish the account, change rep codes, put a request in through Salesforce, and it's done. Just because this business is more a relationship business, and the big hurdle for me was, what the clients didn't see was Michael in my seat. So it was, they needed comfort knowing that everything else would remain the same.
Further on that point, I think a lot of the transition and a lot of that heavy lifting too was a little bit less of a burden because you're under the same RIA.
Without question.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's not, you're not looking at having to fully repaper, having to completely unplug a client from maybe the custodian that they're used to, which is LPL in this situation, the account history, the account view, the statements, right? Everything. I mean, that had to be a huge help, I would think, too, as well.
It really was, James. And the fact that when I met with the clients, going to describe them the different strategies that was going to be more consistent with what their risk tolerance would be, and it was a process where there would be one or two forms that were signed through DocuSign, same account number, same registration, same online access for them. Really, the only thing to change were the individual investments within the portfolio.
Absolutely. So when talking about technology and how Salesforce has been a big factor within, GVA Asset Management and being part of the community that GVA has to offer, Advisor Bob, Secure Office, the different tools, Is there anything that is worth noting that during this experience you said, okay, it's opened your eyes to maybe not doing everything and saying, all right, I'm better suited at meeting with clients and using the GVA asset management team or and other areas there?
Oh, I mean, without question, in order to get scale in this business, you really have to have the infrastructure behind you. And there was a manager, a long time, told me that, you know, the easiest way to become more effective is to have other people do it for you. I'm not, you know, buying and selling individual mutual funds, ETF securities. You know, Great Valley Asset Management, Eric and his team has been able to, you know, show me the value of that. That opens up more time for me to have, you know, sit downs with clients. And really, I'm in a relationship business. So to be in front of them on a daily basis, to get an idea as to what keeps them up at night and then bring them solutions for that. And then really, I look at that as, all right, I'm my own client in terms of a financial planning client, that I have to utilize the resources that Great Valley has. Salesforce on the technology side, Advisor Bob, you know, from the succession planning side, because now we know what my practice is worth. As a business owner, I want to see, you know, can I sell it? When can I sell it? What's it going to be worth to myself or my heirs? Yeah. And that's really important, to have everything under one roof on this side.
Absolutely. And I think speaking to that, because maybe some of the folks listening or viewing this might say, what do you mean you know what your practice is worth, right? So within Advisor Bob, the Bob value, which is an ongoing monthly metric that when you log in to go see what your compensation was for that month, on the top right, you're going to see that number, and it gives you an idea. And it's not only an idea. We reference that number in our succession planning agreement. So, you know, God forbid something is to happen, that's what we're going to use. And we actually did use the Bob value in this situation with that occurred with Michael too. Right. So, and it's helpful, right? You're as a business owner, you want to know, just like when you meet with your clients, I'm sure there's tools out there like BizEquity, there's tools out there like Riser, right? They're going to give you that business valuation. It's important, right?
It was very important. When I first got into business, nobody had that. You'd have to get a valuation from a third party in order to have that. Now, you know, it's all in-house. And it's important because year over year, you can track it, see what the value is, dependent upon what the market is, dependent upon how many new households you're bringing in, and then make an assumption in terms of what do I need to do to get it to X level or 2X level.
And so looking back on then to now, is there anything that you would say to yourself, maybe we should have looked at this a little bit differently? You're happy with the outcome of how it came out? Just in general terms for an advisor who's thinking about, and the reason I'm asking this question is because we have advisors within the GVA network. We probably have advisors who are going to watch this that may never join GVA, but they're also interested in succession planning. And they're saying to themselves, when should I enter into a succession agreement? When is the best time for me to do that? And when we say succession agreements, we're not saying, hey, sell your book today. It's right. It's just entering into one with whoever you're underneath. You know, what's some thought process that you would have around it, being that you've experienced it?
Really, you know what? It's the same process that I take my clients through in terms of the financial planning process. Okay. If you're a financial advisor, own your own business, own your own practice, now's the best time to put the succession plan in place, because we don't know what's going to happen down the road. We want to make sure that you can actually tell your clients, you know what, if for whatever reason I'm not in the picture, there's somebody else behind me. And I've done the research to go over that infrastructure to make sure everything's going to be the same as it is for you when I'm sitting in the seat in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so any last thoughts, anything else that you would bring to the table or want to mention? Obviously, Michael was a larger than life type character, and we miss him greatly. I mean, I do. He was almost like a mentor for me, and I'm sure the same thing for you. And I know other folks in the office, right?
Without question. I have a picture of him in front of our office when our group had an opportunity to go up to the stock exchange, and we were on the Florida exchange, and four of us had gotten a picture. And Lisa had sent me the picture, Michael's widow. And I said, well, this is frame worthy. And I had known of the picture, and I'd forgotten about it. She gave it to me, and I put it on the wall. So I think the big thing is, if somebody's serious about this, put it in place now. And also, if they have the capability of, having a partner to make those introductions to the existing client base, because then it'll be a truly seamless transition.
Got it. Well, we can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast today. We really appreciate the insight into succession planning, and the fact that you have real life experience and can talk about it is, I think, is important for everyone to hear. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you.